Revelation 20, verse number 10. This is the third message in this series. I think there's going to be four messages total in this series. The title of this whole series is The Terrors of Hell. Hell is not a very pleasant place. It's a place filled with torments, all kinds of anguish, grief, and trouble. I don't like to preach about hell. I tell you, I don't like it. I preach this on the radio, four messages on the radio, and I felt led to preach them here too. Hell is a horrible place that people don't want to think about. People don't want to mention hell. Sometimes people get the idea that if you talk about hell, that you're a mean person. I don't want to be a mean person, but I want to tell you the truth. There'll be many people that are going to hell by surprise because they think they're all right, because they've never been taught about hell. They think that joining a church is enough. They think that coming before a congregation and saying, I believe in Jesus, is enough. Let me tell you a little story about that. Believing in Jesus. Did you know when I was lost, I believed in Jesus? I was lost. And I believed in Jesus. Furthermore, I believed in His death, His burial, and His resurrection. I was taught that. I knew that was so. But I didn't trust Him. I didn't trust Him. But I believed Him, but I didn't trust Him. And that's the difference. That's what salvation is, totally relying upon God and not upon yourself at all. That's what it amounts to. And only God can save a soul. Only God can do that. It's not what you know. You can study the Bible and learn all the precepts of the Bible. You can learn all the principles of the Bible, but that doesn't mean you're saved. I mean, the Pharisees, they knew a bunch, but they hated Christ. Hell is eternal. That's the subject for tonight. The main subject we're looking at is the terrors of hell, but tonight we won't talk about the eternity of hell. How long does hell last? It lasts as long as God lasts, to put it very bluntly. And that's forever and ever, and that's what this passage says. In Revelation 20, verse number 10, the Bible says, and notice what it says here, as it talks about how that the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. The Bible says right there that the devil and the beast and the false prophet will be tormented how long? Forever. And then the Bible uses these terms, and ever, in case anybody thinks that there can be ever any end to eternity. I think the Bible puts these words in there. Forever and ever. It is not surprising to me that many people are skeptic of hell being eternal. That's a hard doctrine. It's a hard pill to swallow. Hell is forever. It never ends at all. Some people believe that in hell, that the wicked will simply be annihilated. They'll simply be burned up and be gone, and that's it. But you know, it's not that way. We'll read other passages that tell the same story, that hell is forever and ever it never does end at all. This verse clearly tells us how long hell will last. That is, the lake of fire will last. Death and hell are cast in the lake of fire. I understand that. But I'm using the word hell here, just speaking of the eternal state of the doomed. They'll be there forever and ever. I don't know if there's any stronger words that you could use. Can you think of any? Forever and ever. Can you think of any? Forever and ever. That's a never-ending time span. It never does end. It's there forever and ever. Wow. I think if the Spirit of God wanted to communicate to man how long eternity is, that's a good place to, that's good words to use. Forever and ever. Hell will not be annihilated. Sinners don't go into hell and there are burned up. And then they're gone. That doesn't work that way. When a sinner goes to hell, they're there forever and ever. They're suffering in the flames of hell and they never get out. They never do get out. They're there forever and ever. Compare with this. Compare what I just got through stating with Revelation chapter 4 and verse number 9. Revelation 4 and verse number 9. The Bible says this. Revelation 4 and verse number 9, talking about eternity. And when those beasts give glory and honor and thanks to Him that sat on the throne, who liveth forever and ever. Notice that there's words that are exactly the same. In Revelation 4, verse number 9, he states there that God, Christ, the Holy Spirit of God, and the Trinity, they all live forever and ever. That's exactly the same words that are used to describe hell in Revelation 20 and verse number 10. It's exactly the same words. So, will anybody be able to doubt that hell never ends? Will anybody be able to doubt that heaven never ends? We rejoice when we think about heaven. It's going to be forever and ever, right? That's good. But how about those folks in hell? How long will they be there? People in hell will be there as long as we are in heaven. As long, could I say, as God is alive. Because their sin is against the Almighty. The sin is against God. It's not against us. The sin is against God. The same expressions are used talking about the eternity of God as it does talking about the eternity of hell. It'll last forever and ever. If anybody don't want to go to hell forever and ever, there is one way out. There's only one way. It's not through our good works. It's not through our church membership. It's not through joining the church. It's not by being baptized. The thief on the cross was saved when he was hanging on the cross and could do nothing but hang there. He could not get down off the cross. Nobody would let him down besides. He trusted Christ, and Christ said, at the day, you shall be with me in paradise. That's it. I mean, that's the ultimate. It's odd, isn't it? How that we can conceive easily of eternity with the Lord. And how bad, how much trouble we have conceiving of eternity without the Lord. In hell. Maybe I'm the only one that's that way. But souls go into hell every day. They go into a place of torment because they've rejected Christ as their only Savior. He is the only one that can ever bridge the gap that we need bridged. Jesus Christ is what He's done. You think of this. Have you ever touched a fire? You might as well say, yes, I have. Some people are stupid enough to play with fire. And they get burned eventually. That's what happens. What if it was said this way? If you can stand the heat of one match for as long as it burns, and how long would that be? How long will a match burn? If you strike a match, how long will that match burn? 20 seconds? Maybe. I don't think it lasts 30. I don't really think it lasts 10. I've not timed it. That'd be a good thing to do. But I'm thinking about a long match. Not one of those little short ones you get in the packages. I'm talking about the long ones. Wooden matches. Could you stand to hold your finger in the flame of that until it burned out? Anybody here want to try it? No, because it's hot. What if the deal was that that's how long eternity is? Is that a person will be cast into the flames of hell and there simply be annihilated? Would it be worth it? You know, I think that the fires of hell, though, are not like a match. It's not like that at all. The fires of hell never go out. When I was a boy, people would joke about shoveling coal in hell. You know, it's not funny. It's not funny at all. Because many souls are down there into hell. But what if a person could, they would say, I could stand it for 15 minutes, and that'd be fine. Would that be all right? Would you just like to hold your finger in a fire for 15 minutes? Anybody volunteer? You know what? If you're not trusting the Lord, you're volunteering. Not only to cast your whole finger into hell, but you're volunteering to cast your whole being into hell. And how long are you going to be there? For 15 minutes? Not for 15 minutes. I mean, it's pleasant. We got air conditioning on, right? I mean, that's nice. It's nice and cool in here. It keeps up the heat of the temperature outside away from us. But you think about people in hell that there's no air conditioning down there at all. And they're there for all eternity. They will never, ever get out. And there will never be any kind of respite at all for them. You remember the rich man and Lazarus? The Bible says that the rich man, he asked Abraham, just send Lazarus down here. Then he'll take the tip of his finger and drop it in water and cool my tongue. That's all he wanted, was one drop of water on his tongue. How long did that last? The fact is, he didn't get it. You know why? Because there's the great gulf. That didn't mean there's water between them. It meant there's the great separation between them. And he couldn't do that at all. But if hell will last for all eternity, there is plenty of scriptures in the Bible that tell us about the eternality of hell. I want you to understand that hell will never, ever end. Never. I said at the beginning of the message, this is not a pleasant subject. It is not a pleasant subject. I don't like to think about hell. But I tell you what, the flames of hell was what caused me to run to Christ. Because I knew that I was going to burn forever and ever in a flaming fire. And I needed salvation in the hand of the Lord. The only way I could not be lost was to be saved by the grace of Almighty God. Look in Matthew 25. Matthew 25 and verse number 46. Matthew 25 and verse number 46. Before we read Matthew 25 and verse number 46, I want you to see who's doing the talking. And you can easily see, most Bibles today are printed in a red letter edition, where that the letters, where that the words of Christ are printed in red. And they're for a reason. Sometimes when you get older, you can't see the red as well. But if you're a young person, you can read these words. They're in red. These are the words of Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and He is the perfect one. He is almighty. He knows what He's talking about. And He said this, "And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal." Notice these two words. The words everlasting and the words eternal. They're essentially the same words. They mean exactly the same thing. Is there anyone that would deny that heaven exists eternally? They're a fool if they are. But is there anyone that would ever say that hell is also eternal? Well, sure it is. It is eternal. Hell will last as long as heaven does. Understand that that's so. When the believers are with Christ in glory and we're rejoicing around the throne and being taken care of by Him, there will be souls in hell that will be there as long as Jesus Christ is alive and well. And He is God. He's the eternal one. What does that mean? He's the eternal one. He is always existing. Think of eternity. Eternity is not like here. Because here, there's a little device on the back wall that measures what? It measures something. It goes round and round constantly. It goes round and round. What is that thing called? You have one in your hand? Now, the one on my phone, it's either digital or analog. But this is analog. I'm talking about one that goes round and round. It never does stop. It goes round and round. But I tell you, one day, there'll be no clocks. Because one of these days, there'll be no time. It's going to be different in eternity. Eternity is not like, it's not measured with time at all. Christ is not measured with time. He says He's forever and ever. That's what He means. That He is always in existence. Next point is this. That in hell, there'll be different degrees of punishment that individuals will go through according to their own lives. Look in the book of Luke chapter 12, what the Bible says here. Luke chapter 12. Different degrees of judgment in hell. Luke 12 and verse number 47. I know I'm not reading all of this, all of these passages, but I'm not reading all those passages for time's sake. But I understand here in Luke 12, in verse number 47, He says this, and And who's doing the talking here? It's Christ that is speaking. And he never speaks a lie. Christ always speaks the truth. All right? In Luke 12, verse 47, "And that servant which knew his Lord's will and prepared not himself, neither did according to his will, shall be beaten with many stripes. But he that knew not and did commit things worthy of stripes shall be beaten with few stripes. For unto whomsoever much is given, of him shall be much required. And whom men have committed much, of him they will ask the more." Look at that. Some people that knew a lot will be beaten with many stripes. But those people that did not know very much will be beaten with few stripes. What's the difference? It's according to how much they knew. It's a righteous judgment. God judges righteously. Not the way we judge, but God judges correctly. He judges the way that people know. Look in the book of Matthew 11, verse number 24. Matthew 11 and verse number 24. And I would ask you here again, who is doing this talking? It's Jesus that's saying this. It's Christ himself that's saying, and he's saying this as a warning to people. He wants us to understand that there's a warning that he's giving to us. In verse number 22, he says, "Behold, but I say unto you, that it shall be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon at the day of judgment than for you. And thou, Capernaum, which are exalted unto heaven, shall be brought down to hell. For if the mighty works which have been done in thee had been done in Sodom, it would have repented unto this day. But I say unto you, that it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom in the day of judgment than for thee." Wow! Can you understand what he's saying here? God judged the land of Sodom and Gomorrah with fire. He burnt those places up. And they're gone. Jesus Christ is saying this to the Jews. He's saying, I want you to understand something. He said in verse 22, "But I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon at the day of judgment than for you." And he says, as he compares the different groups here, people, he says in verse 23, "And thou, Capernaum, which are exalted unto heaven." Men have exalted Capernaum, but God said, "You have not believed. Therefore, you will have more judgment than the land of Sodom." Wow! The land of Sodom did have a judge. What was his name? Yeah, a lot. What a judge. What a judge. Was he a saved man? Why, I believe he was. But he was sitting in the gate of Sodom as their judge. But God said that in that day, Capernaum, it shall be more tolerable for Sodom than for you. What I'm saying here, very plainly, Christ is saying, is that there is a difference in judgment according to the light that a person has. That's what it amounts to. If you know to do good, you better do good. The day is coming when you will be held accountable, not by me. I won't judge you at all. Christ is the final judge. You have to answer to him and him alone. That's all there is to it. Wow. In the book of John, chapter number 19 and verse number 11. John 19 and verse number 11. Here is what Christ said to Pilate. Let me begin reading John 19, verse number 8. When Pilate therefore heard that saying, he was the more afraid, and went again into the judgment hall, and saith unto Jesus, Whence art thou? But Jesus gave him no answer. Then said Pilate unto him, Speakest thou not unto me? Knowest thou not that I have power to crucify thee, and I have power to release thee? And then Jesus said this, and your Bible has this in red. I have a red letter edition, so mine's in red. Thou couldst have had no power at all against me, except it were given thee from above. Therefore, he that delivered me unto thee hath a greater sin. Now, that's what Jesus Christ said. So what's he saying here? He said, Pilate, I want you to understand something. You're guilty. You're guilty. But those people that delivered me unto you are more guilty than you are. That's what he's saying. So according to the light that you have, you will be judged eternally. That's what the Bible's saying here. I give you good warning. I give you plain warning, as plain as I know how to make it, that judgment is coming. Matthew 23 and verse number 14 states this. Matthew 23, verse 14. Notice here, the scribes and the Pharisees in the days of Christ taught many evil things. By the way, in Matthew 24, verse 14 through verse 15, what color is those words? It's red in my Bible. Because Jesus, I want you to understand this. I'm not telling you things that a man said. What I want to show you in the Scriptures is what Jesus said about hell. I want you to understand that. It's not my words. It's the words of Jesus Christ. You've got to see that. It's His condemnation. It's not mine. I like it all. But you need to do what Jesus tells you to do. He is the leader. He is the boss. He's the one that's over everything. Genesis 23 and verse number 14. Jesus said this, Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees. He calls them hypocrites. For ye devour widows' houses. When they ought to be helping the widow, they were devouring their house. They were taking everything they had. And you make for a pretense, long prayer. Therefore, ye shall receive the, what's that word? What's that word he uses? The greater condemnation. That ought to tell us that there is a variation of punishment that will be inflicted upon these people because of their actions. There's a greater condemnation, the Bible says in verse number 15. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you compass sea and land to make one proselyte. And when he is made, you make him twofold more the child of hell than yourselves. What does that say? There is a variation. Understand that for some people in hell, it will simply be hot. But for some people, it will be burning hot. That will not be according to what we think. It'll be according to what God says about them. That's what it is. Understand that that is so. That's not a very pleasant thing to think about, is it? I don't think it is at all. I don't like it. I'd rather preach about heaven myself. I'd rather tell everybody here, you're all going to heaven, it's going to be great. But I can't say that because I don't know your heart. All I know about me. I don't know why the Lord even saved my soul. I have no idea. I'm glad he did. I'm very glad he did. Well, he saved me from lots of grief. I tell you what Jesus Christ did for me on the cross of Calvary was I can't even express it. I know that he died for me, but how to express it, I can't tell that at all. I don't know how. Look at Matthew 26. Matthew 26 And verse number 24. Again, the words that we read are written in red. These are the words of Christ, the only begotten Son of the living God. He is Jesus Christ. The words He always says is true. He never lies. He never tells any kind of fib. He doesn't break. He doesn't build anything up more than what it is. He tells you exactly what it is. He is a perfect spirit. Matthew 26, 24. Read verse 23. Well, this is written in reply to a question that the disciples had, because Christ had just said, as they ate the supper, that one of them would betray Him. And the disciples were very much distressed about it. And they said, "Lord, is it I?" Verse 23. And Jesus dipped His hand with me, and he that dipped His hand with me in the dish, the same shall betray me. And then He says this, verse 24, "The Son of Man goeth as it is written of Him. But woe unto that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It had been good for that man if he had not been born." How could it be true if Jesus Christ said this, if in hell a person was simply annihilated? Think of it. Judas Iscariot will not be simply annihilated in hell. He will not be. How long will he be down there? He'll be down there as long as Jesus Christ rules in heaven, on the new earth, new heaven, new earth. He'll always be there. He'll never go away. He'll never leave. He'll be in the depths of burning fire forever and ever. That's what the Bible says. I can't make it any more clear. Don't close your ears. Don't close your heart to the fact that you will spend eternity in hell if you reject Christ as your only Savior. He is the only one that can save your unworthy soul. He's the only one that can forgive you of your sins. He's the only one. Nobody else can. If I could, I would. But I can't. I can't even forgive myself of my own sins. I must need a Redeemer for that. And he's the one that does all that. If Judas Iscariot would be in hell for 1,000 years, wouldn't that be enough? No, because the Bible says forever and ever. You will never, ever, ever end. In hell, there is no hope. While you live, there is hope. But in hell, there is no hope. Zero, zilch, hope. You can never get out of hell. Never. Every place a person in hell will look, they will see the words forever. In hell, they would know that they're there forever. They would never get out of hell. Never. Never be any lessening of the degree of punishment that they have to go through. Not at all. They're there forever. How long will all that last? Sometimes I have difficulty in grasping how long eternity really is. Both eternity in heaven and eternity in hell. But I have more difficulty with hell than I do with eternity in heaven. Because heaven, I'm going to be in eternal bliss, and I love that. But to think about a person being in eternal hell forever and ever is a horrible thought. Indeed, it's a horrible, horrible thought. But let's say that this earth, this whole earth, was made up of sand. This whole earth, everywhere you looked was sand. And one time, every thousand years, one little bird would come and take one grain of sand away and take it to a far place and there leave it. It'd be gone. How many years would it take that little bird to carry away all the grains of sand that make up this earth? I don't know, but that'd be a long time. I mean, that would never, ever, ever end. It would never come to a place of ending. It would never would. But that is how long. That gives us an idea, at least, that hell will never, ever, ever end. A place of eternal. Can I say it again? A place of eternal punishment. Just like we that are saved will have a place of eternal blessings, the lost will have a place of eternal judgment. Now, another point. Why must hell last for all eternity? Why must it last? I think as we think about why hell must last eternally, we ought to look, first of all, at God Himself for this. Is God's Word eternal? Question. Is God's Word eternal? I see heads nodding. It is eternal. Is God's nature eternal? Will He love us eternally? He loved us while we were sinners. He died for us on the cross of Calvary. And He will love us throughout all eternity, right? I mean, that's not my promise. That's His promise to me. He will love me for all eternity. His love will never diminish. I think as eternity progresses, if I could use that term, I will begin to know the depths of His love more and more. Look at some scriptures. Hebrews 13 and verse number 8. Hebrews 13 and verse number 8 says this. Jesus Christ, the same, yesterday, today, and forever. He is exactly the same. He's never changed. As far as men are concerned, we change, but God doesn't. He is always the same. Sometimes you might be angry with a person for a while. But you should get over that. If you're going to grow in the Lord, you must get over it. You must let it go. God in His nature has a loving nature, but He also has a wrathful nature. And sometimes we want to forget that. But God is a God of great love. He died on the cross of Calvary for us. But if we reject Him, willingly and we just go our own way, you need to understand that The fault is not God's. The fault is ours. Because we have rejected Christ. We need to believe the promises of God, right? And so whenever I believe the promises of God and I do what God wants me to do, then God will always work pleasing to himself to fulfill the promise he's given to me. But if I say, I don't believe that promise, God won't do nothing. He'll let me flounder along and be dead away. But listen, you think about it. That God's is eternal, is the eternal God, and his work will never, ever end. Never end. Look in the book of Psalms 111. Psalms 111. The Bible says in verse number 1, Psalms 111, verse number 1, praise ye the Lord. I will praise the Lord with my whole heart in the assembly of the upright and in the congregation. The works of the Lord are great, sought out of all them that have pleasure in them, or pleasure therein. His work is honorable and glorious, and his righteousness endureth how long? Forever. God is absolutely righteous in everything that he ever does. In holiness, but also in his wrath. Don't ever forget that. That God is righteous in his righteousness. He's also righteous in his wrath. He is a great, great and a mighty God. The Bible says in 1 Peter 1 and verse number 24. Read this passage. 1 Peter 1 and verse number 24. This is written about man. The Bible said all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. Verse 25. But the word of the Lord endureth how long? How long? Forever. It never does end. God's, all of God's attributes are forever and ever. God, if God's word is eternal, and God's righteousness is eternal, if God himself is eternal, then his wrath is eternal as well. All of it so. We've read these three passages to you about Christ being eternal. That's in Hebrews 13, verse number 8. In verse number 11, in Psalms 111, verse number 3, the Bible said his work is honorable and righteousness, glorious, and his righteousness endureth forever. That is God himself. Why should we ever think that for some reason God's wrath is not eternal? It is. It will last eternal. Number two, under this topic. Hell is real. It's eternal. It's everlasting. Because it can never be satisfied with the punishment of sinners, no matter how long it lasts. For this, read this passage, Luke 12. Luke 12 and verse number 59. I will tell you again that the words that I'm reading here in Luke 12, verse number 59, are the words of Christ. He says, I tell thee, thou shalt not depart hence till thou hast paid the very last mite. He's speaking that, about that, according to the way that men would would want their debt paid. So, man can do nothing to pay for his sins. No amount of punishment in hell, no matter how long a person's there, can ever atone for their sins. You think about people in hell that continue to sin over and over again as they're in hell because they're against God. Number three, look in the book of Isaiah 66. Isaiah 66, the last verse in the last chapter. Isaiah 66. Verse number 24. Talking about the millennial reign. The Bible said in Isaiah 66 in verse 24, "And they shall go forth and look upon the carcasses of the men that have transgressed against me. For their worm shall not die, neither shall their fire be quenched, and they shall be abhorring upon all flesh." During the millennial reign, people that are saved will be able to go to a place, and they shall look upon the carcasses of the men, of the people that have transgressed against God. That's what the Bible says in Isaiah 66 and verse 24. That day is coming. That day is coming. I take that quite literally. That men that are saved will be able to go and look into hell, if you would. "And the worm shall not die, neither shall their fire be quenched, and they shall be abhorring upon all flesh." Hell is not a pleasant subject. There's no wonder that many people don't want to hear about hell. I preached this on the radio, and there was a lady came to services, and she met me, stood right here. I don't remember her name at all. It was a couple weeks ago. But she told me that you'd never hear a message about hell at all, because it's not a very pleasant subject. Maybe you have become bored by it. I hope not, because you ought to study more about it if you have. Hell is real. There are souls, people right now in hell. Don't go there. It's a place of great torment, great problem, great suffering. Don't go there. If you know that you're lost, I pray that you might come to Jesus Christ. Trust Him that He could wash away your sins. Only Jesus Christ can save your eternal soul. Only He can do it. I pray for you that God would bless you. I pray that God would help me as I continue to preach on this horrible subject. I know it's a horrible subject. I'm not telling you I enjoy it. I don't like it. I will tell you this. I'll be glad when it's done. But you know, people in hell, it'll never be done. It'll never be done because they're there and they can't get out. They're not going to be burned up. And they'll never get out. And that's the way it is. If you're lost, you need to repent of your sins and trust Christ, because He can wash away your sins. Nobody else can. Okay, our prayers are for you. Okay? Okay, brothers, let's stand if you would as you sing this message, sing this song. We pray that the Lord help us tonight that we might understand about the eternality of hell.